Praise team, thank you. Good job today. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That's great news about Becky Lineball, isn't it? Isn't God good? Give God a hand. He's still in the miracle business, and he answers prayers. And we're really delighted about that, and delighted about this year, and delighted about the things that some of you wrote down, you know, in your year of Jubilee, the thing, the breakthrough that you're praying for, that God will help you through to improve, do more of, have more of, to change in your life. And talking with some of you about the things that you wrote and things that you're committing to the Lord, very exciting. And that's what this year is all about. It's about breakthroughs, because God is in the breakthrough business. You believe that, right? Otherwise, I want to be up here every Sunday, you know, and teaching and talking and sharing with you, just because God is just so good. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of other people, and I'm excited for what God is and will continue to do in your life as well. Excited about those things. And so if you haven't filled out one of these, there's probably one nearby you in the chairs in front of you. You can grab that and look that over and fill that out. You keep it yourself. You put it in your Bible. You put it up on your mirror. You put it up on your nightstand. All those things, just keep that. And right on the front of it, the date from today that you wrote down what breakthrough you're anticipating God and asking God to help you through. And so in talking with you about this, we're this year, message by message, are biblical truths and principles and stories that relate to those things that you've put and written down on those envelopes, on that card in your life, in your walk. All of these things we talk about applies to that. And so all these things we're going to do will help move towards that. Is that okay? Ready to get started? Because the first step in receiving a major breakthrough in our lives is getting clear on what we want. We have our envelopes, and they've been filled out. And so we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 through 4 through 7 that was read this morning with regards, again, God's word telling us what we are to do. If we go to Philippians chapter 4, it says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, and notice this, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit is inviting us, is welcoming us, which He is, to make your requests known to God through prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. Make your requests, and that word there, your requests, in the original Greek version of that word, it indicates like a void. There's a void in our life where we're requesting, the petition that we're making is for that void to be filled. Only you know what void you have in your life right now. Only you know what it is you're seeking God to fill and to fill up in that place in your life. Some people might say, I have lots of voids, Brian. And that may be true. And God can fill all of those. But we must ask and request of Him what those things are. And so, first of all, as we get ready, can we agree, as we talked about last week and the week before, that God wants us to experience the wonderful bounty of His creation rather than just endure through this life? Amen? Some of you believe that, some not so much. You believe that this morning?
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about Becky Lineball right here. Do you believe God can do that kind of stuff through you and in your life? Amen? Second, can we agree that while not everything we ask for is a part of God's plan, if we are sincere and what we ask for is in His will for us, that we'll get it? Can we agree on that? Amen. And third, can we agree that we have forgotten how to ask, not sure what to ask for, been denied enough by others, discouraged by others, judged by others, that we don't know what to even ask for. Or better yet, not willing to go deep down enough because we're afraid to be disappointed and let down about what we really want in our life. And why is that? You know, with kids, it's completely different. If you have to ask a child, what do you want? The child's going to say, I want ice cream. Well, we don't have ice cream. Well, the store has ice cream, Dad. Okay, so let's go to the store or let's go to the ice cream place and get ice cream. What do you want? I want Starbucks. Every single day after school. Okay, you want to get some Starbucks? I want Starbucks. Kids know what to ask for. You know, I want to play video games. Or what do you want to do? I want to go see grandma and grandpa. I want to go fishing. They're never hesitant about, I'm not really sure. But when we grow up, we get to this place of adulthood, and then you ask, what do you want? I really don't know. I'm not really sure. No, what do you want? I just don't know. I just really never really thought about it. Why is that? Why is that for those who are growing up, who are just maturing in their rational thinking, all of a sudden get to the place of adulthood where we're supposed to have matured, and then we ask you, what do you want? And you go, you know what? I'm not really sure. It's kind of like at Christmas time. Your kids ever do this? Mom and Dad? Mom, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know about you, but you might be thinking, oh, I'll tell you exactly what I want for Christmas. I want an iPod. But if you're like most parents, you know what? It doesn't matter. Not really, you know. No, Dad, what do you really want? What? Peace on earth. Peace on earth and in my home. Okay, that's what I want. But it's hard for us to really express what is it that we want. Why is that? You know, I think that many folks, especially Christians, have deep-rooted beliefs that wanting to achieve more in life is somehow bad. And oftentimes it may be confused with material greed, with the ambition to be or to do their best or to have something they've not had before. But yet over a period of time and over time, as that child grows up to go, I want this and I want to do that, there's people in our lives to say, you know what, that's so unrealistic. You know what, that's good to wish for something like that, but you have to really, you know, rationalize and think about that. You know what, you'll never become that. You'll never do that. You'll never want this or want that. I was talking with a young man the other day over coffee, and we're having coffee, and we're talking about goals and dreams, and he said, you know, my realistic goals are this. My unrealistic goals are this. Now, I know what he was trying to say. It was one of those things where it's kind of like way out there. I don't know how that's going to happen. But notice what he was saying. My unrealistic goals. Somebody somewhere in his life has said, you want that? That's unrealistic. You'll never get that. And whether it's parents or whether it's teachers or whether it's neighbors or friends or whomever it is, we've been beaten down so much, especially in our churches, that it's not good, it's not right to be able to want. But I can't imagine the amount of ideas, dreams, innovations, wants, that have been crushed by this thinking. I mean, think about it. When God created the heavens and the earth, what was there? There was dirt, rocks, and trees, right? And then some animals and a couple of people. That was it. And amidst the rocks and the dirt over a period of time, somebody got the idea, you know what? It would be really great if I can get from New York to LA in 4 hours rather than 3 days of constant driving. Wouldn't that be great? Maybe I'll fly. And yet the Wright brothers were told by so many people, it can't be done. Think about that. What if they would have believed that? We'd be taking 3 days to get to New York from L.A. in 3 days, or walking forever as ever and ever. Can you imagine if somebody's saying, you know what, it'll be great, it'll be nice. I want to be able to download an app on this device that I have that has no wire connected to it so that I can be able to look at my bank account, look at my investments, trade, and do whatever I want on this particular little device. And yet we have it because somebody wanted it. Somebody wanted to go to the moon. Somebody wanted to, build big towers and buildings. Somebody wanted to start a business. Some people wanted. And yet, when we hear that within the church especially, we go, oh, no. You can't want. And yet, if all those things would have been squashed, we'd still be working with sticks and rocks and living in caves. Can you imagine? The refusal to dream results in apathetic acceptance of the status quo and fears of changing in one's life. And soon after time, we begin to accept that just as the way it is, it's just the negativity and all the things, that it can't get better than this in my life. This cannot improve in my life. This cannot change in my life. And yet, I hear my Father God saying, that's exactly what I want for my kids. To live the status quo. To just do this. I don't know about you, but that's not my Father. That's not my Father. My Father, who has plans for us to prosper and to grow and has dreams for us, who created us and wired us a certain way and put in us ideas and thoughts and things like that. We're going to be talking in the next few weeks about things about God's will and what God's will is. I'm not sure what God's will is. I don't know about you, but I've got to have answers. I got to know. What is God's will? Have you ever wondered that? What is God's will about this? I talked to a lot of people. I don't know if I should do this or I should do that. I don't know about what God's will is. Do you think that your Father who loves you is going to hold back from you what it is that he wants for you? I don't believe that. And so what should we do then? We should ask. We should come before to God and ask where those might be. I think there's some guides that we can have. There's all kinds of thoughts about how to discern God's will and know God's will. We're going to talk more about this in other messages, but just a few things. Scripture is a place to go to determine if what you're thinking, what you're believing and desiring is God's will. If it lines up with Scripture, it could be prayer, asking God, and he'll answer. The Holy Spirit, who, if you're a believer, is in you, who is God, can help you and guide you in that. Other people in your life, godly people, parents, mentors, coaches, teachers, wise counsel, church leaders, and circumstances in your life as well are ways of knowing if it's God's will. And there's also another thing, a factor to determine whether or not something in your life is God's will. And that is if that thing, that breakthrough in your life lifts up God, like we lifted up praise to God today for what happened to Becky Linebaugh, lifts up God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Notice this. Why is it that God wants to bless us and prosper us and give us and be there for us? And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you notice that there? The purpose for God's blessing, the purpose for God's abundance and love is that through you, as he blesses you, is to be able to bless others. Let me ask you a question. In this area here in Lower Bucks County, are there people who are poor and struggling that need help? This is yes. Are there people who are struggling with some things in their life that need a boost up and help from somebody else? Are there people who need that? Absolutely. Are there mothers who find themselves pregnant with child, who are not married, who need resources and tools and help and guidance and mentoring and support in our community and need help? Absolutely. And wouldn't we want to be able to help them all? And yet God has everything that we need We just have to be in the place to ask him and to be able to receive so that we can bless other people. God is ready. Now, I don't have time for this at this time, but I have a theology and I believe that within every community, we have a loving God so much that in every community where there are needs and hurts and brokenness, God has provided the resources, the tools and resources to be able to bless those people. But it's us who get in the way. It's us, what other reasons we get in the way, our lack of faithfulness, our lack of faith, our lack of seeing, or we just get so caught up in so many different things that we're choking out the resources that are there, and God is ready to bless, saying, who will take this to the poor? Who will take this to the needy? Who will take this to the hurting, to the lonely? Who will be willing to do this? And God is calling us in our life for major breakthroughs to bless us. Let me give you an example of what I mean. The first thing we need to do is to get clear on what we want. What we want. Not just not sure, but really clear on what we want. Good example of that is Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the one who had the vision to rebuild the wall in the Old Testament and his journey there. We're going to talk a little bit about him today and then further in the next couple of weeks. Nehemiah first saw what he did not want in his life. Notice that. He saw something that broke his heart and he wanted to change and to fix and to improve. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Talking to some of the other fathers from Jerusalem. Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, Nehemiah said, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So he heard news about his hometown. And in these days, well, you know what it's like when you have a hometown. Yeah, you have a hometown. Many people have a hometown. You know your hometown. I moved around so many times and such like that in my life. Some of you know what that I mean. Moved around so many as a kid and stuff like that. I'd go, that's my hometown, that's my hometown, that's my hometown, that's my hometown. This is my hometown for a year. This is my hometown for 2 years. But we all have that hometown. And we care about it. And when we hear something that goes wrong or bad or that business went out of business and stuff, it kind of breaks our heart a little bit, doesn't it? You know, some people have to move on because the industry is no longer there. It breaks our heart a little bit. Because that's our hometown. In the same way for the Jewish people, Jerusalem was their hometown. This was their place. This was where God was. And this was very special to them. And all of a sudden they hear about the news about the walls being broken down and the gates being burned and the city and the town left open and the desolation is there. And Nehemiah wept. He saw what he didn't want in his life. He saw what he wanted to change at that time. And then Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 11. He goes immediately to prayer. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. And notice this, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Notice what he asked of God. He was very clear on what he wanted. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. It was very clear. Give your servant success. So notice, like we talked about last week, he asked and he believed. Now it was time to wait to receive. And we're going to talk more about belief and faith and action. But here's why we write this down. We write this down to get really clear on what we want. The other reason we write this down is we stay focused on what we want. Because here's why you stay focused on what you want. And so many times we do that. We pray about something and then we just kind of walk away from it. And we really never think about that. We wonder why that had never been answered or ever come to be. But yet what we may or may not realize was that was answered. We just were not looking for it. And so when we have this in front of us on our mirrors, on our dresser, in our pockets, in our Bible, in our wallet, wherever it might be, that we're staying in tune to what it is, what breakthrough we want in our life, we give attention to when God shows up in ways to be able to start that breakthrough. And so Nehemiah was very clear on what he wanted. He prayed it, got very specific, and then he waited for the moment. And the moment came in the month of Nisan, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So again, this was a routine every time. So the king then asked him, "This day, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" You see, this was the moment. You see, Nehemiah prayed to God, right? And is God faithful to answer prayers? Amen. It may not be right away. It may be a no prayer, no answer. But also, it's also the yeah, but wait prayer, too. But if we're not focused on it, we may miss it. When God shows up, and God shows up here in Nehemiah's life, when all of a sudden the king takes a moment and says, "Why do you look down?" Which was rare to happen. The king wasn't interested in how people looked. He just wanted to get his food and drink and wine and do his thing. But yet, God was there, and the king noticed, what's the matter? You look bummed. What's going on? And now the moment. And now the moment when the king says to him this, "What is it you want? What do you want?" And then it says here, then I prayed to the God of heaven, Nehemiah said, "What is it that you want?" And then Nehemiah gives him his request. In chapter 2, verse 5, "And I answered the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it.'" Notice there, he was very specific about what he wanted. Can you imagine if he'd gone to the king and the king says, "What do you want?" "I don't know. I'm not really sure." Or he starts giving them the backstory. "Well, you know what? You know, I grew up in this small town. You know, you probably were there, king, right? Once you grew up someplace, right? And, you know, you get around there and you go, what do you want?" I remember when I was way back when I was a youth pastor at a church, I would go in and I was young and I would go in. There was something I wanted to do or wanted. I'd go into the senior pastor's office. I would go in and bow at the door and knock. And no, I'm just kidding. But I would go in. He'd say, "Sit down." And he's like, "What's up?" And I would go, "You know, I was thinking, you know, kids today." And I start going on this long story, you know, or this long background explanation. And finally, he would just say, "Brian, what do you want?" Oh, what do I want? Oh, and then I would explain, "Can we go on a hike and a camping trip?" "Yeah, just get to what you want. Don't give me all this other stuff." The king, who has no time for all a bunch of other stuff, especially a person who's a cupbearer, just to do their job, says, "Hey, you look down. What's going on?" "Well, and explains what's going on. He goes, "Well, then what do you want?" That's the time we better be ready to answer with it being clear what it is that we want. Because your Father in heaven is loving you and cares for you and hears your prayers and hears your agony, and he's looking down and saying, "What is it you want? What do you want?" And there's something about getting clear about what we want. I know that because here we see another example of it in the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, 6th verse. Here we have a man who has been sick and ill and an invalid for 38 years. That's right, 38 years, almost 40. And he's been sitting here in this place, and then he comes and meets Jesus. Jesus shows up. Here in verse 6, Jesus sees this man lying there and learned what he'd been in this condition for a long time. And he asked this man this question: "Do you want to get well?" This is if not my favorite verse of the Bible, because it just stands out to me. And from my own experiences, Jesus asks one of the most craziest questions you can ever ask a sick, hurting person: "Do you want to get better?" Isn't that just crazy? You see, I grew up thinking that everybody who has an illness or a sickness or a problem or a struggle wants to get better, wants to get healed, wants to improve. And yet Jesus has to ask him a question. Do you wish to get healed? And this man just doesn't answer, yeah. He goes on about this thing about, yeah, well, you know what? I've been here for a long time, and every time I want to go down to the pool, somebody else gets there, and I can't get in. Now, I don't know. We don't know necessarily from Scripture if he was basically saying that he's had a 0 for 6,000, chances that he's never got down to the water, that it's just not worked out. Or maybe he tried a couple times. We just don't really know. It seems like he's tried in every single day, every other hour, whenever it was, when the swirl in the water happened, that it just didn't work out for him. But nonetheless, there, Jesus came over and healed him. But notice the first question. Do you want to get well? I remember years ago, Carl and I were newly married, and I had a mentor in my life who was my mentor in the counseling world, and I went to him and worked with him in getting my own practice set up, and I remember going to him. We would meet about a couple times a month, and I would go and I'd meet with him, and he saw how frustrated I was, and he said, Brian, did you get into counseling because of why? What's your definition of success? And I remember telling him, everybody that comes in my office, I want them to get better. And he says, let me share a few statistics with you, Brian, and I'll never forget this. He said, listen, about 10 people that you see, one out of every 10 will actually do the things you ask them to do. That already was discouraging. That's 10%. He said, of that 10%, one out of 10 will actually get well from doing those things. I don't know if you're a mathematician or not, but that's 1%. 1%. Because I had the tools that people, if this couple was struggling in their marriage, if this person did A and this person did B, if they did these things, they can come together. But what I found was people not doing A and not doing B at all. And therefore, they didn't get better. Because they wouldn't even do A and B. It wasn't like, hey, we tried A, we tried B, and it's not working. Then we could have gotten to C and D, right? But yet there's A and B out there, and they wouldn't even do A and B. And I began to realize that many who say they want to get well, who want to get better, they're not willing to do what it takes to get well, to get better. Because you know what? Our God has real solutions. Our God has real answers. You know, and I can go on a grocery list, starting from everything from A to Z. Anxiety, people who struggle with anxiety. I work with people who struggle with anxiety, and yet there's some things you can do to get over anxiety, to get rid of the medicine that you're taking to get over that. There's things that are out there, but they're not willing to do those things. And I look at that and I go, I don't understand. There's things out there that if we apply to our life that will change and improve our life, and yet people don't want to get better. The question for us to answer as we look at this year of Jubilee is, do I want to get better? Do I want to be healed? Do I want to have growth in my life? Do I want to prosper? Do I want to find fulfillment and purpose? Do I want to have life that has meaning to it? The question must be really clear. It's up to us to decide. Because I know this is what I know. And my friend Joanne and I were talking about this morning. I know that I know that I know. And here's what I know. God is ready. Our Father in heaven is ready. He is ready to bless. He is ready to come alongside. He is ready to help, inspire, motivate, give you everything you need to break through whatever it is you want to break through. The question comes down to is, do I want to get healed? Am I willing to get healed? So we need to get clear on what we want. Secondly, we need to learn how to ask. And keep in mind that we're already asking for things all day long. Do you know that? You may not realize it or not, but you're already asking for things all day long. Whatever you put your focus on, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're worried about, whatever you're stressed about, whatever you give attention to, whatever you give energy to, is those things that are coming into your life. You know, in other words, if you are deliberately focusing on having a satisfying relationship with your teenager, the chances are much greater that you will have a satisfying relationship with your teen. Or it'd be the opposite. I'm a part of a couple of Christian businessmen's Bible studies throughout the week, and one of them, there was a guy there who's a dentist, and he was talking about, we were talking, and he just really just opened up to the whole group, and he began to talk about that his daughter, his wife's daughter, he has three daughters, one is 18, and this daughter was just creating a lot of trouble for them. And it was so severe that he was just broken about the idea that they were on the verge of just really just kicking her out of the house. He goes, we need prayer because we're just thinking about kicking her out. And so we got to talking a little bit about it on the side, and he was telling me the story about all the stuff that she was doing and just really causing pain for her parents, and they were just focusing on those things that she was doing. And I asked him the question, and I said, "What do you want?" He goes, "I want this craziness to stop." I said, "No, that's not what I'm asking." I said, "What do you want? What do you want to see in your daughter? What mannerisms, what behavior, what attitudes do you want to see?" And it dawned on him. His guys got real big. It dawned on him. He never really thought about it. He just thought about all the stuff he didn't want, all the stuff he didn't like. He never thought about what it is he wanted. He was focused on all the negative and the brokenness and the hurt. And I said, "What is it that you and your wife want?" And they really had to think about it. I said, "You go back, you think about it. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, you write it down. Just write it down, but write it down as if it's already taken place. And you write it down and you put it up on a mirror on your table, just like this. And you write and you put it there and you focus on that. And before bed every night, you and your wife go to God in prayer and you just focus on that and you pray that as if it's already happened." Now, why do you do that, Brian? I'm glad you asked. Because when we oftentimes, and it's just the way we've been wired over the times, folks, unlike children, if you tell children this is going to happen, they're going to believe it's going to happen. But see, we grow up and we get to the place we say, "Well, this will happen." Well, are you really sure? I just find that unbelievable. That's just not. But to a child, "Oh yeah, sure, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen," right? About finding that quarter in the pocketbook, right? Childlike faith. It's there. It's there. And so what happens at times, we say we want something, and for a moment we go, "Okay, I believe it," but then all of a sudden this little thing comes in our life and says, "No, you can't believe that. This is just too far gone. This is just not going to happen. She's just too way out there. You're going to have to kick her out. It just hurts too much." And then all of a sudden we lose that faith and trust. And God says, "No, that's not how I work." You see, in the kingdom of God, it's all about faith and trust. That's the economy we run on in heaven. And so then you put it up, and he puts it up, and he puts it up, he puts it up. And over time, we were at a Bible study or an event or dinner or something like that, and he just kind of pulled on my sweater and said, "Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. It took a while, but we've begun to see changes in our daughter. We never had to kick her out. We still got ways to go, but things are beginning to change." You've got to get clear on what we want. It makes a difference. Think about it. If we're always focusing on what we don't want, that comes in our life. I'll prove it to you. If you have your phones, some of you may be already on your phones, but if you have your phones with you, go to your internet thing and say, "No baseball." Like, you don't want to see baseball. No baseball. Guess what shows up on the internet? Baseball. If you go no apples, guess what's going to show up on the internet? Apples. You know, if you no giraffes, guess what's going to show up on your internet? Giraffes. So the more you say, I don't want, guess what shows up in your life? How many people here play golf? Okay, hey, you and I, okay? When it gets a little warmer, all right? I love golf. And I know you've seen this before, but But so there's psychology, there's a name for this. I can't quite remember the name for this. You may know what it is. But I'll get up there ready to tee off, and all of a sudden, right in front of me is a lake. And I know from experience at the driving range, I can go way over that lake, no problem. But what am I focusing on? The lake, right? And what do I say to myself? I am not hitting it in the lake. I am not going to hit it in the lake. Folks, time after I said, I am not going to hit it in the lake, guess where I hit the ball? In the lake. It's just the way that things are wired, the way God has it. What we focus on is what we have in our life. We need to turn that around and say, what is it that I want in my life? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, what does it say? So is he. And another one, Job chapter 3, verse 25. What I have feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. This is Job. What I have feared, what I have worried about, what I have focused on has come upon me. We need to get clear on what it is we want. And so I've included in your bulletin an asking exercise to take some time and to go through that exercise. It means to go through, choose something in your life that you want. We talked about that already. Take out a piece of paper at home and briefly brainstorm the things about your current. We're using, for example, a current job as an example. Say that's the thing you want to change. Your list may include items similar to the following: low wages, long hours, boring, gloomy work environment, no flexibility. Many people do not know what they really want. So creating a list of the things you don't want and then doing the opposite is what things you do want. So once your list is complete, get a new piece of paper, and for each thing you don't want, ask yourself what you do want. So instead of low wages, you want a generous salary. Instead of long hours, standard 8 hours. And so look at what you don't want and then what you want to change. No flexibility, flexible work hours. You get the idea? Okay. Then destroy the old list and put the new list someplace you'll keep it safe. And that can work for every area of your life. That's your asking exercise. But some of you will do it later today. But maybe some of you won't do it. You'll get to other things. Oh, that was neat. That sounded good. But I got it all in here. And yet I hear Jesus saying, do you wish to get well? Do you want to get better? We need to ask in prayer as well. Prayer is our way to establishing a real relationship with our Heavenly Father. And just as we want our kids to talk to us and ask us for what they want and need, God wants the same from His children as well. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in, what does it say? Prayer. And what a blessing it is to be able to ask for things from our Father in heaven in prayer. Because God, we know that God wants every good and perfect thing, and that He's in store for us. And we can pray confidently, knowing that whether the answer is yes, or it's no, or not yet, our prayers are being answered because God loves us. Bottom line, we just need to take some time to be with the Father and get connected to Him. You know, even the hardest of atheists come at times to God with questions and concerns and wants and challenges and tests. And many of them, in so doing, come to discover God as their Father in heaven who loves them. And for us who believe, we know because God is there. But for some of those that you've read about, like we were talking just the other day about Lee Strobel, who is a hardcore atheist, he's just going to prove that there isn't a God, and he's going to put it out there, and yet God shows up in many ways in his life that's truly transformed his life and his ministry and his work. But we know God, and he's ready to bless. He's ready to be involved in your life right now. We just need to get clear on what we want. We know what we want. We just need to trust God to be able to Help us in that. Let's pray together. God, we want to thank you so much for being faithful to your word, being faithful to who you are, that you love us so very much. And God, whether it is yes or whether it's no or not yet, Father, we know that our prayers are being answered, that you are hearing our prayers, you are hearing our cries, you are hearing what's on our hearts. And it really comes down to if we really want to be healed, if we really want to get well, if we really want to prove, if we really want to see change in our life, it really comes down to a decision and a choice. And as we sing this song, many of us will make that decision if we've not had already. But Father, there might be some people here who are struggling really to believe. And I pray that, Father, you would just bless them and show up in a very special way, that you've got them, that you've got their back, that you're with them, you're holding your hand, holding their hand, you're with them, you're there to comfort them, that you're present and you're there. I ask for this for them. Thank you for blessing us with your Son, Jesus, who makes all things possible. Because of him, we can know who you are and how much you love us. And it's in the name of him, our Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.